Today is the epistle for this Passion Sunday is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of an heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Please rise for the gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. Likewise, I announce that we do have more CDs, especially for Lent, and likewise the Easter CDs for sale, for purchase leaving Mass today. So today we celebrate the last 2 weeks of Lent, which are called Passiontide. So this time of the Passion, we enter more intensely, more deeply into this spirit of prayer and sacrifice. And having spent time this Lent reading about the history of the liturgy, I read that these 2 weeks preceding the Pasch of our Lord are the holiest and most ancient liturgies, that these were the 2 weeks of obligatory fast, and the readings that you're hearing are the readings which were prayed in the ancient days of the primitive church in Rome. And so we hear what is the theme, as we hear in the gospel today, that the tension between Christ and the Jews has reached a climax. He's openly revealing his divinity, and they're openly rejecting him and seeking to put him to death. For we read today that he said that before, he did not say, as St. Gregory remarks, that before Abraham was, I existed, but rather I am, an echo of the revelation of God's own name as he made it to Moses and the Israelites, that I am who am. And so they understood him correctly, and they will sentence him to death for having made himself equal to God. They did not believe, neither in his testimony of his words or his works, because their works were evil. And as children of the darkness, they preferred not to come to the light. And so we reflect on, we hear at the end of the gospel that Christ hid himself from them. And hence the church hides his presence in the glorious crucifix and in the statues of the saints, indicating to us too that we must see Christ within ourselves, that this must be 2 weeks of greater recollection, of greater prayer, of greater fidelity to our sacrifices. And if you have been in any way remiss to your sacrifices, there's no greater sacrifice than coming to the holy sacrifice of Mass. As I mentioned, these are the most ancient liturgies of the Church. Please come and take full advantage of this sacrifice, which is worth more than a year of fasting on bread and water, as the saints tell us. And it calls our attention that our Lord today, manifesting his divinity, hides from his enemies. If he's God, why does he hide from them? St. Gregory remarks that if he would have wished to exercise the power of his divinity, he could have enveloped them in their own attacks with a simple tacit decree of his will. Or he could have inflicted upon them the penalty of a sudden death. But rather, he who came to suffer did not wish to execute judgment. For St. Augustine says that he wished rather to teach patience than exercise power. And that is the mystery of Passiontide that we should reflect on, that we should be meditating in this in these 2 weeks, namely the virtue of patience, because it derives as passion from the same etymology in Latin, de patior, to suffer. And many times we consider it that, or perhaps we don't even consider it a virtue. We think of patience as just a sort of passive resignation to what we really can't change, a weakness rather than a virtue. But being a virtue, that means it strengthens us and perfects our soul. The scripture, in speaking of the dignity of the virtue of patience, tells us in the letter of St. James that patience hath a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, failing in nothing. And our Lord said that in your patience you shall possess your souls. St. Gregory the Great, that patience is the root and guardian of all the virtues. And St. Francis de Sales, that the virtue of patience is that which assures us the greatest perfection. Okay? So it's not the greatest virtue as such, but it's an essential part of reaching the perfection of all the virtues. For only he who perseveres until the end shall be saved. And so, what is this virtue? We are impatient now to understand it and to practice it. St. Thomas explains that the virtues order our passions or our emotions towards the good of our soul. Okay? That they impose the rule of right reason upon them so that we do not drift away under the influence, we not be carried away by our passions. And so he says that amongst our passions or emotions, that of sorrow can do us much harm, as the scriptures warn us, that the sorrow of the world worketh death. As we notice, even in people who become severely depressed in their old age, and oftentimes give up the will to live, and more quickly die. Or the book of Sirach says that sadness hath killed many, and there is no profit in it. Hence, the necessity for a virtue to safeguard the good of reason against sorrow, against sadness. Wherefore, St. Augustine says that a man's patience, it is whereby he bears evil with an equal mind, that equanimity of mind, without being disturbed by sorrow, lest he abandon with an unequal mind the goods whereby he may advance to better things. It is therefore evident, St. Thomas says, that patience is a virtue. Okay? So, in summary, what did he say? That we are patient so as to obtain a greater good. We put up with evils, with sadness, so as to obtain a greater good. And hence the world understands patience, or at least an imitation of patience, whereby one makes sacrifices or waits to obtain a greater temporal good. I remember even a thief recounting how he was very patient. He would spend all day looking at the street, at the cars, waiting for that right moment to steal. Or likewise athletes, no, who make sacrifices so as to win the race, to win the great marathon, preparing themselves with much patience. But if we want to practice it as a Christian virtue, one which will truly perfect our soul, we must understand what the key to patience is. And St. Augustine tells us that to prefer the good of grace to all natural goods, the loss of which can cause us sorrow, is proper to charity, which loves God above all things. Wherefore it is evident that patience, as a virtue, is an effect of charity. According to the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians, charity is patient. Okay, so the first key, if we want to have patience, we have to have charity. Because it's a question of what do we love the most. Okay? If it's God above all things, then our patience will grow to perfection. And likewise, so as to have charity, we need to be in a state of grace. And so if you're not in a state of grace, forget it. Okay, go to confession. Father Paso is waiting for you there. So we can go to confession, of course, to restore grace to our soul, which comes with charity and all the infused virtues. Or likewise, if we're not in a state of mortal sin, we can go to confession, confessing venial sins or past sins, so as to increase grace in our soul. And so it strengthens us. And please meditate on that point, that there's an infusion, an automatic infusion of grace with every sacramental confession that we make. Okay? And you perhaps experience this. I think many of us do. You may have committed sins against patience, and when you go to confession and you come out, all of a sudden, you feel patient again. You go home and to your family and you say, oh, it's fine. You don't have to pay attention to me. I'll repeat myself. I just went to confession. I'm not going to lose my patience. Everything is fine. Okay? And that only lasts so long unless at the same time we develop the acquired virtue by the repetition of actions. Okay? But we all notice that initial infusion of virtuous power in our soul by sanctifying grace. Okay? So let us make use of all the means of grace, frequenting the sacraments and much time in prayer. And especially in prayer so as to rightly order our love. So that we seek spiritual things. Because again, the imitation of Christ tells us we can never avoid the cross. We will always have the cross in this life. Okay? This is from Adam and Eve, from their fall onwards. Our Lord has blessed us with the cross. And the imitation of Christ says that if we bear it grudgingly, it gradually crushes us. But that if we embrace it, it's the very cross which carries us to heaven. We want to know how our judgment will be on the last day, the great sign that will appear in the heaven. The saints tell us is the sign of the Holy Cross, that the friends of the cross will rejoice, and those who've lamented the cross in this life will feel even greater sadness. Okay? So we have to embrace the cross because our Lord is there, and his yoke is easy and his burden light, because he's there to bear it with us. And if we place our treasure in this world, will never overcome our impatience, because everything here passes away. It's impossible to avoid all our sufferings, annoyances, accidents, mishaps, adversities, misfortunes. And if everything seems to be in order, let us reflect that here we have no lasting home. Tomorrow we die, and everything passes away. And so, our patience must be rooted in that supernatural desire of charity, to possess God above all things. If we have that, we would be able to say with St. Paul, as he says to the Romans, who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness or danger or persecution or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That would be a good excuse to lose your patience, no? But no, he says, but in all these things we overcome because of him that hath loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if he is the treasure of our heart, then we can bear with all the other adversities of this life and not lose our patience. And likewise, repeat simply what I had mentioned in all the spiritual talks to the various groups this last month. Remember those four motives by which we should want to suffer. Because that's the mystery of Passiontide and of Holy Week, that our Lord says, nobody takes my life from me, I give it. Okay? We'll see that he will say, he doesn't lose his patience, therefore, when he's sad even unto death. He rather says, not my will, but thine be done. He doesn't lose his patience when he's being scourged. The because he seeks not to, he's not under the illusion that he will keep this mortal body forever. He doesn't lose his patience when he's crowned with thorns, mocked, and spit upon, because he does not seek the honor of men. He knows that the same ones who acclaim him as the King of Israel within a few days will clamor for his death. He does not seek human opinion, human approval. He does not lose his patience on his way to the cross, as he knows that when we are weak, then we are strong, as he manifests a dependency on God's grace. And likewise, he doesn't lose his patience hanging on the cross, for he came to give his life for the redemption of many. And so if we have the same mind, which is in Christ Jesus, we will think of the same, those four motives. Why do we love to suffer, or should we love to suffer? To repair original sin, to restore order in our soul, to repair our personal sins. What a grace to be able to suffer here so as not to suffer eternally. To be in union with Christ. If Christ suffered, the only one who is innocent, he's my friend, I want to be with him. That should be our desire. We're united with Christ in these sufferings. And as one saint remarked, that in all her sufferings, they were not sufferings because Christ was there. And he who is our joy. And lastly, so as to obtain our supernatural end, which explains why, you know, sudden misfortunes, the loss of things, seems there's no reason to it, but in the end it detaches us from this passing world. And if we live according to this supernatural patience, animated by charity, we will be able to say with St. Paul, "In nothing shall I be confounded, but with all confidence, as always, so now also shall Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So let us repeat the great St. Teresa of Avila, so as to continually grow in patience, wrote on a bookmark she had on her desk, "Let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you. All things are passing, God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.